Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
It's funny, as someone who's on the receiving end of beatings that are justified by the Bible, how pansy some people react when you push back. So I apologize if I hurt anyone's feelings, but I have a right to defend myself and to point out the hypocrisy of people who justify anti-gay bigotry by pointing to the Bible and insisting we must live by the code of Leviticus on this one issue and no other.
That's gay activist Dan Savage speaking at a conference for high school journalists. Some of the kids walked out, and he had at least one choice word for them. This is an odd turning of the tables, isn't it? It seems as though in our effort to foster tolerance among our children and to stamp out bullying, we've just created an entirely different class of bullies, a new target for bullies. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about anti-bullying programs. Pastor Hans Feeney will join us. He's recently written something for The Federalist titled The Terminator Principle, Why Anti-Bullying Week Only Makes Things Worse. A little bit later in our program, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller will join us. We'll continue our weekly series responding to evangelical proof text today. John 3:5. On being born again of water and the Spirit. Is it really about water baptism, or is it about something else? Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus Walking on Water, Matthew 14. Now, you can join us with questions or comments throughout the course of the next 2 hours. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free anytime and any place you're listening to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about anti-bullying programs, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist, The Terminator Principle, Why Anti-Bullying Week Only Makes Things Worse. Hans, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
What are these programs teaching our young children?
Well, I suppose there are sort of two ways to look at that question. The first is, what are they intending to teach, and then what are they actually teaching? I suppose, you know, kind of programs vary from school district to school district and classroom to classroom. Obviously, at least the stated goal of these things is to reduce bullying, to reduce students picking on each other, verbally harassing each other, insulting each other, belittling each other in various ways, whether at school, at home, and especially online, which has certainly become a greater problem with the advent of social networking. What they actually seem to be teaching students, however, is a little bit different. I talk in the article, first off, about how one of the problems that others have noticed about anti-bullying campaigns is that they very well might be having the inverse result intended. And that, so for example, if you're basically telling kids you're not allowed to bully in the forms of A, B, and C, what you're effectively teaching kids is you won't get caught if you bully in the forms of X, Y, and Z. You know, so that if you say these words, then you'll get in trouble. Then kids learn, okay, well, then very well, I'll text those words. Or if they say, all right, well, if your text messages, if those get shown to us, then you'll get in trouble. Then you go back to the old-fashioned way of bullying where you just whisper or say things as you're passing someone in the hallway that can't be so easily verified. So that certainly seems to be a problem, as well as kind of what was highlighted in the quote that you had from Dan Savage's speech, which is that very oftentimes these anti-bullying campaigns seem to be designed in such a way where basically any kind of critical speech on anything And there are probably those who would look at this and certainly say, especially with regard to homosexuality, where just anything short of absolute cheerleading will be taken as bullying, where those who have the authority to discipline people for bullying are basically going to use that power, that coercive power, to silence any kind of speech, any kinds of views, any kind of public proclamation against this stuff. So that certainly seems to be something that's on the rise as well.
You've written recently, you've made kind of a little analogy between the famous Terminator series of films and what you've just described here. How do you put that together?
Yeah, okay. So the first two Terminator movies, which are the only ones worth seeing, the whole concept of the first one is that there in the future there's going to be this artificial intelligence network called Skynet. It becomes self-aware, so it becomes aware of itself and sees itself as its own sort of living entity, and then sees that mankind is a threat to its existence. So then it goes about trying to exterminate mankind. And one of the ways that Skynet does this in the mythology of the Terminator movies is it creates these Terminator machines, so these essentially androids that are sort of covered in human skin that are designed to kill humans, to destroy all the humans that they find. So that's sort of the plot of the first movie. They send one of those back in time, and the humans send a guy back in time, and they fight to make sure that each of their side wins. In the second Terminator film, what we learn is that if you catch one of these Terminators, all of them look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, at least this one particular model, you can reprogram it so that instead of trying to kill the specific human being named John Connor, who's the head of the human resistance, that it will protect John Connor. So the humans send back this machine to protect John Connor, but what you learn in a sort of a pivotal scene in the movie is that the machine is still designed to kill people, so anyone who is even remotely a threat to John Connor, the machine will very quickly turn its deadly ways on that person. And so in all of this, you haven't actually stopped the machine from being murderous and from being violent. You've just sort of redirected its murderous gaze, its murderous programming. And so in its connection with bullying, what I've basically said, just kind of seeing that that instance from the Dan Savage case, and just even seeing stuff much less innocuous stuff, or I'm sorry, much less harmful stuff in my own children's school district, but the kind of the same principle of where if the problem of bullying is like the Terminator, what we've done is we've just reprogrammed the Terminator to bully the bullies, to turn its weapons of social ostracization, to turn its weapons of cruelty and disdain, and to aim those at people who are identified as being guilty of bullying.
So it's very much like the scenario that we saw, as you mentioned before, with Dan Savage, where he says, well, you know, I've growing up as a gay man, I've been bullied. And when students simply walk out of his speech, they don't protest, they don't call him names, they don't do anything, just walk out of his speech, basically switches on full bully mode with the microphone to boot.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's, as I kind of describe it in the article, it's this is not the speech of a man who's against bullying. This is not the way, if you're against belittling people for who they are and what they believe and what they hold sacred, this is not the way that you talk to people. This is not the way that you treat people. Rather, these are the actions of a guy who's basically been handed a reprogrammed bully Terminator and is just rejoicing in being able to unleash it on the kind of people that he thinks are guilty of bullying him. And of course, this is always the irony in the thing, is from his perspective, there's no distinction between a person who believes what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and a person who would physically assault a student who identifies himself as gay. To him, that's exactly the same thing. There's no distinction between a person who would say, this is what I believe, but I would never actually engage in violence or cruelty towards my neighbor, but this is what I believe God teaches on the issue. To him, there's absolutely no difference, and anyone who's even kind of remotely in that camp needs to get blasted with the bully terminating machine.
Can we have some sanity making distinctions between genuine bullying I think everybody knows what we're talking about here. Maybe it's like obscenity, you know it when you see it, but everybody knows what we're talking about. And just how kids behave with one another, how kids grow up with one another, and simple disagreements between adults.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of that is ultimately what sort of gets lost in this whole anti-bullying week campaign that's oftentimes done, especially with the younger kids. I talk about this a bit in the article. One of the things that's a challenge with this is that younger kids have a harder time thinking conceptually. They have a hard time separating the person from the person's behavior. And it seems as though in a lot of these anti-bullying campaigns, they don't really try to find a way to make children understand those nuances. So they'll just teach kids, a bully is someone who says mean things to someone. Well, the reality is that mean things, that's entirely in the eye of the beholder, and there's very genuine, real bullying in the world, obviously, and I don't want to downplay that at all. But there are also a bunch of really thin-skinned people in this world who get offended when someone just so much as says, I don't think that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life, who would very easily take that as bullying if given the opportunity to do so. So, yeah, I mean, I think obviously one of the marks of real bullying is that it's behavior that's intended to demean and humiliate people, intended to cause emotional or physical pain. It's repeated, sustained behavior. It's ganging up on behavior. These types of things. And there's obviously a world of difference between that and having honest disagreements with people about various things, or even just someone having a bad day and saying something that wasn't terribly gentle or whatever it may be. There are huge distinctions in this that certainly children need to understand, and there are certainly ways to make them understand this. And I do think that by and large, you know, good public school teachers, if this stuff is dealt with in public schools, they do a really good job with this. I haven't been thrilled with the way that the anti-bullying campaigns have been run in my kids' schools, but I've been very thrilled and very pleased with the way that my son's actual teachers have taught kids what's expected of them in the classroom, how they're allowed to speak to their fellow students, how they're not allowed to speak to their fellow students, and how all of that plays out.
Let's talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. He's recently written a column for The Federalist, titled The Terminator Principle, Why Anti-Bullying Week Only Makes Things Worse, making that distinction between bullying and ordinary disagreement, and making a distinction between the anti-bullying programs that often make things worse and the good job that teachers are doing in socializing our kids. We'll be right back. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Small Catechism Giant Poster.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about anti-bullying programs on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 10th, with Pastor Hans Feeney. He's recently written for The Federalist a piece called The Terminator Principle, Why Anti-Bullying Week Only Makes Things Worse. Folks, we're already, about 100 or more people registered for this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. They're coming from all over the country already. Represented in the attendees already, Alabama, California, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, Wisconsin, and a couple from Canada as well. That's already there among the registrants for this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. We have limited the number of attendees this year due to the size of the venue to 400 people. We've got 100 already with just a little more than 100 days left. It means you need to register now for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer, June the 19th and the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. That's just 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can register at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You can give Craig a call, 618-223-8385, or send an email, craig@issuesetc.org, and he'd be happy to help you register for this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference coming up June the 19th and the 20th right here in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org. Hans, you said something before the break that I think is very important to note. That is, the anti-bullying programs that are often run in our schools can be kind of dumb, and they can have adverse effects. But in the classroom, our teachers often do an excellent job of simply what they used to call socializing and disciplining our children. What would you say about the anti-bullying program that you've had opportunity to come in contact with?
Well, what I would say about it is, like I said before, now my kids are younger, so I haven't seen yet kind of firsthand how this stuff is done with the older kids, you know, outside of kind of egregious examples like you find with the group of high schoolers that Dan Savage spoke to. But, yeah, the main problem I see with the younger kids is that what the anti-bullying campaign basically does is it just simply says there's this kind of person out there called a bully. And a bully is the worst kind of person in the world. A bully is someone who is not welcome in our school. A bully is someone who is not welcome in our classroom. A bully is someone that we don't want around us in any way, shape, or form. And so it creates this kind of abstract ghost of a frightening thing, in the same way that, you know, people have oftentimes complained about how we teach kids about stranger danger, and it creates this weird sort of category of a stranger, which doesn't really help a lot of the problems that's seeking to solve. So you have this sort of abstract category or this abstract ghostly figure, and then what you basically then say to kids is, so we say, all right, here's the bully, and we don't want anyone to be the bully. And then we say, okay, well, who is the bully? What are the marks of the bully? What are the distinguishing characteristics or features of the bully? And you say, well, the distinguishing features are what a bully is: someone who says mean things to other people, and that's it. So right then, from that moment, kids can either go one of two directions. One, you can have, as I mentioned in the article, a young man, little boy who came home from school this week, who's a member of my congregation, who said something to his mom that wasn't terribly nice, and his mom told him it wasn't very nice, and then he immediately became horrified to learn that he was the bully. He had become this awful, mean, terrible creature that he was taught to despise. Or likewise, on the other hand, what you do is by allowing kids to just fill this in, a kid who doesn't want to be criticized for anything, a kid who can't handle the slightest bit of an absence of validation, is then able to justify his hatred of anyone who doesn't just sort of slobber all over him with love and validation. I mean, I think the reality is that this is, while there's a real problem that needs to be fixed, I certainly think that when it comes to especially these younger generations, one of the things we're not dealing with is we're not dealing with a generation that is too thick-skinned. I think it's quite the opposite problem, and this is an approach that's only going to make that worse if you basically give kids the right to feel justified in ostracizing anyone who ever makes them feel less than 100% fantastic about themselves.
So there's a bigger problem here. I mean, we have fostered a a mentality, a reaction, a kind of a trigger, hair trigger reaction to any kind of negative input that has written itself large in our society. I mean, I don't know how far this goes back, but it's written itself large in our society where any kind of criticism or disagreement is considered hating.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we sort of look at examples of, you know, of powerful leaders and dictators and emperors and kings throughout history. And, you know, and one of the things was is that you're never allowed to criticize the king, and because the king has this power to put you to death, and because he has this unlimited, unchecked power, then you don't ever dare say anything against him. And it's almost like these what these sort of anti-bullying approaches offer is basically this idea that says, well, that it's certainly don't have the power to kill people, but the power to despise people, the power to hate people, the right to harm someone's reputation, all of you have the right to employ that if anyone says anything even in the slightest bit critical of you or even that you want to interpret as critical. And I think, again, I think the example of Dan Savage shows this, where Dan Savage is a man who doesn't want to even have to deal with just the simple claim that homosexuality is unnatural, that gay marriage is not beneficial to society, that it's not good, and it's not a wonderful, God-pleasing thing that should be accepted. So it doesn't, to him, it doesn't matter the nature of who's saying it or how it's said, or if physical or emotional harm is being given to those who don't want to hear that. He just simply wants to stop that message from being spoken, and this gives him sort of the opportunity to do that.
Then talk a bit about how just kind of common sense classroom, everyday classroom. I'm just going to sound like an old guy here. When I was growing up, there weren't anti-bullying programs. There was just the teacher with the ability to exercise some discipline in the classroom and a fair measure of common sense. What's changed?
Right.
Anything?
In the actual classroom, I don't know how much things have really changed. I mean, I certainly have, you know, I think a lot of these things, it's difficult to really kind of legislate and try and reform this in any way from the perspective of the schools, simply because if you're the kind of person who's going to mistreat and bully and abuse people and write horribly just vicious things about people online, as is oftentimes the case, that's a parenting thing. That's a problem with it's very oftentimes a problem that's related to parents who either are completely absent from a child's life or conversely, which is probably a problem we're seeing now more these days, parents who will always support their children and will never actually exercise any discipline over their children because they think their children are above reproach. And that's not really a problem that schools can fix that easily. So there's sort of that aspect of it, which is, schools that don't have any real, true, genuine authority over students aren't going to be able to improve much of things when the parents who actually do have real, true authority over their own children aren't exercising it. I think there's probably some simple principles in this of just don't say cruel things to your fellow students. Don't insult people. When kids are older and they're texting, when they have social networking that they can use, just presume that absolutely everything you say is something that don't say anything that you wouldn't say publicly within earshot of people who would have the authority to discipline you for it. Just treat people the way that you would want to be treated, rather than this approach, which just sort of creates the boogeyman, and then gives you the authority to unleash all of your ammunition on him whenever you've sort of filled in anyone's face to fit that.
Is part of the problem here a kind of irrational zero tolerance policy, where the situations that become kind of ludicrous that we laugh at can multiply because you got kids at home. They're all boys, aren't they?
They are all, yeah, and they are pure boy.
And if you exercise an absolute zero tolerance policy, I don't think any of your children would still be alive, would they?
No, yeah, that's very true. I mean, this is the difficulty with zero tolerance policies, is that as you can say, right, we have a zero tolerance policy, but then who determines what actually a violation is? You know, so I have I have a zero tolerance policy with my own kids about not hitting their brothers, but when one of them violates it, then the other oftentimes violates it in defense of himself. And so, you know, how is it that you then come to sort of apply the punishment for this? Well, it really just does sort of depend on a case-by-case basis. So I think that's oftentimes the difficulty with these things, is when you try and paint with a very broad brush, it's difficult to actually apply things according to the specifics of the circumstances and the situation, which is really where things need to be done.
Isn't the goal here, Hans, either among our kids to a much lesser degree, but among us adults and in society in the larger sense, for these kind of social interactions to eventually be self-regulating? That is, we shouldn't have to have a tolerance police or a bullying police in society. It should, these kind of things, good old-fashioned social pressure and just learning how to ignore somebody might go a long way toward solving these problems.
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly true. I think for parents, you certainly you want to raise your children in such a way that they will behave well even when you're not there. You know, I mean, so one of the things that I've experienced as a parent is that my kids are always better behaved for other adults than they are for my wife and for me. Now, that's good. If you're going to have things go one way or another, that's good, because it indicates that the lessons you're trying to instill in them are actually paying off, and that they actually want other adults to see them as respectful, as obedient, things of this nature. So, yeah, I think that is certainly the goal in all of this, is that you're trying to mold these children into responsible, productive citizens who will one day be in a position where they won't need the sort of coercive power either of the school or just of sort of social pressure to do what's right and to just treat people the way that they ought to. And obviously, you know, certainly as we as Christians approach this is a very simple principle, which is that these are your neighbors, that these are very oftentimes your brothers and sisters in Christ, that these are people that God created to be treated with dignity and respect, even when they oftentimes rub you the wrong way, even if they do things that you don't like, even if they do things that are contrary to God's word. We recognize that that we always seek to treat our neighbor with dignity and honor, and to treat our neighbor in love, because when we were enemies of God, that's how God treated us. And the more we're able to teach our children that, and the more they're able to see that, the more these things will just naturally take care of themselves. And so ultimately, really the best solution to this problem is just for people to come to church and hear the gospel. You hear about the forgiveness of sins. You hear about how it is that Christ claimed you as his own, how when the devil had made you his, how when the devil had seized upon you in the sort of the greatest form of bullying that you could imagine. And when you had no right for Christ to come to your defense, yet when he laid down his life to do this for you, it's in that word, the preaching of that word, that creates faith in people's hearts, that creates this desire to treat our neighbor with the kind of love that Christ has shown to us.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He is creator of a comical video series called Lutheran Satire, and he's author of a recent column and several other columns for The Federalist. His most recent is titled The Terminator Principle, Why Anti-Bullying Week Only Makes Things Worse. You'll find a link to his column and to Lutheran Satire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Hans.
Hi, Glad. Thank you so much for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We regularly talk with him in a series we like to call Responding to Evangelical Proof Texts. We'll take up the subject of John chapter 3:5, if I'm not mistaken, and being born again, what Jesus really means. We'll be right back.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things: the love of Christ, and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Vision casting leaders in the church, differences between men and women, naturalism, biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.